Hello and welcome to Fent Show, conversations with entrepreneurs, where they share their challenges and lessons learned through their journey to earning a living doing what they love. I'm Diana Lopez, and welcome. Hello, hello, and welcome to Fent Show. My name is Diana Lopez, and I'm very excited today because I have an amazing guest, Remy Meraz. She is the founder and CEO of MeTime Network, Inc., a self-help video on-demand network on a mission to improve emotional intelligence and mental health. A natural-born marketer, Mrs. Meraz has a 25-year sales and marketing career that spans across a lot of industries, including airlines, media, entertainment, advertising, and clean energy, where she has generated over $20 million in revenue and multi-millions in impressions. And Remy, before we start, tell us a little bit more about yourself and your business.
Hi, Diana. Thank you so much for having me today. So a little bit about me. I grew up in San Diego, California. I'm actually now in Los Angeles, California. And my background has been for the last 25 years in sales and business development and working for Fortune 500 companies, also startups and small businesses. And about 2 years ago, I came up with the idea for my own company, and I decided to take the leap into entrepreneurship and build a self-help video on-demand network. I'm very passionate about mental health and wellness and helping people live their best life and get out of their own way. And so I decided to, you know, start something that I feel will make a difference in people's lives every day.
Yes, and I really, really love your project. Going just a little bit back, what was the first thing you bought with your own money?
What's the first thing I bought with my own money?
Mm-hmm. Hard-earned money.
My hard-earned money. Oh, man, we're going way back. I was a single mom. So, you know, I had my daughter when I was 20 years old. And so it was always about providing. But I would say a really significant, memorable moment for me was buying my own piece of furniture, like my own couch, you know, not a hand-me-down couch, not something that, you know, when we're in college and school, everything tends to come to you, you know, from friends and family kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But that couch was really significant for me because it meant ownership. It meant, you know, a signature piece for our home, you know, as a single mom. And I remember the day we got that couch, my daughter and I jumped on the couch together.
Oh, that's so sweet. Yeah, so you feel like you're an adult for the first time.
Exactly. And even more significant, you know, when you have a little one, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's lovely. And tell us a little bit more about your journey from that leap that you took. What was your last job and how was that leap? You know, when did that moment come when you're like, I'm finally taking the leap and leaving my safe job for entrepreneurship?
So I was, prior to starting MeTime and taking the leap into entrepreneurship, I was working in the clean tech industry, the clean technology industry. And I was working for a fuel cell manufacturing company. It was a $200 million backed, venture capital backed company. And it was my dream job. It was something that, you know, all of my years of experience had led me to. When I got that job, I doubled my salary from what I was making before.
Wow.
So I really felt like I had made it.
Yeah.
And I was in a company that was a startup, and we were given stock options, and they were wealth creation stock options. And so it was for me, you know, this achievement of all the hard years, you know, of working for different companies and really figuring out where I wanted to go and what I wanted to do, landing there. I was there for 6 years, and unfortunately, the primary investor in that company decided to pull out of the company. He was inheriting more billions of dollars, and my understanding is that he needed some write-offs in his portfolio, and so he sold, you know, some of our sold or shut down some of his companies, and we were one of the companies that got shut down. So 400 people lost their jobs overnight.
Oh, that's terrible.
And it was devastating. It was devastating because it was some, it was, you know, a place that I thought that I was going to be able to, you know, create wealth from, you know, that opportunity. And I had already come up with the idea for Me Time, and I had already started working on it, and I had a plan in place where I was going to, you know, work at this great job and with my great paycheck and self-fund my business and cash out, you know, of my stock options when I was fully vested and do this thing on the side, build this company on the side, and then I would slide into my own company. Well, God had a different plan.
And, he always does.
He always does. And what was really interesting was that about, I don't know, it was maybe 6 months before when I actually had come up with the idea, I had had a really big breakthrough and broke through my fear of being an entrepreneur, because all through the years, I've had maybe two or three other really great ideas, but I didn't have the confidence to go after them or the knowledge or the resources, and I let that hold me back. And I was at a personal development conference, and I finally broke through my fear of being an entrepreneur. And that moment came when I realized that I had been making millions of dollars for other companies.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. Yeah. And so when I did, when I broke through that fear and realized, like, wow, you have a gift, you know, or a skill that a lot of people don't have, that you're able to generate revenue. So why wouldn't you be able to do it for yourself? Because that's where a lot of people struggle, right? They don't know how to make money, or they don't have the skill set to go do that, to sell. And once I broke through that fear, that's when I actually came up with the idea for Me Time. So it was almost like I had to clear that fear out of my brain in order to make space to birth the idea.
I love that. That's wonderful. And like, why wouldn't you do what you're already doing, but in something that you love and on your own terms?
Exactly. And that was when I realized that I, you know, all of the experiences that I had, both personal and professional, the good, the bad, the ugly, all really led me to coming up with that idea and to build this company. And so it was the moment when you figure out what you're passionate about. And for me, it's always been about personal development, about therapy, about self-improvement. And then taking all of my, you know, my skills and experience and talents and combining the two, I finally landed in my purpose. And when you come from that place of doing something from a purpose-driven place, your whole entire life shifts. And it doesn't, it's not work. It doesn't feel like a job. It's actually feels fun. And it feels like Christmas every day.
Because God, that's so sweet.
Yeah, because it's that excitement, you know, of opening something, you know, a Christmas present, but in this case it's building something, and it's something that you're truly passionate about.
Yes, and then that's even more wonderful, you know, of a feeling that than loving Mondays. You know, when you say mm-hmm. that you love what you're doing so much that it's Christmas every single day. So it seems like you have found your purpose, definitely. And besides, you know, sharing all these successes, there's always, you know, lessons learned and obstacles in your journey. What would you say has been your biggest struggle or or, you know, opportunity or failure, like one challenging moment, and what did you learn from it?
Oh, wow. Where do I start? So, you know, let me just say that entrepreneurial life is tough. You know, there's definitely more struggles than there are successes right now, you know, in the early days. You know, we're very early phase still. We're bootstrapping this this venture right now until we can get some more traction. And, you know, we're raising a seed round right now, but we're still really early, so the challenges are tough. You know, I think one of the challenges, the biggest challenges right now, is in the raising money part, that the odds are not in our favor. The, you know, women only get 3% of venture capital, and Latino women only get less than 0.5%. Yes. Not 1%, 0.5%.
Nothing.
So, nothing. So the odds are definitely not in our favor. And sometimes, you know, that what you have to deal with as a woman in, you know, in the tech world, in the entertainment world, whatever, it doesn't even really matter the industry. If you're up against a male-dominated world, you know, there's just a lot of challenges that you have to deal with in terms of stereotype, you know, sexism, misogyny, just a lot of inappropriate comments and behavior. And, you know, I've come from some male-dominated industries, so luckily I have thick skin and I've dealt with a lot. You know, but I think it's really about not allowing the overwhelm or the odds. When you think about the odds, that sometimes it can get in your head, like, oh gosh, I'm never going to do this, right? Or this is never going to happen. Mm-hmm. And you have to really practice, you know, the self-belief, right, in yourself. And also believe in what you're building, like whatever it is or the company you're starting, that passion and the desire of the bigger picture and what you're trying to create has to outweigh those negative thoughts and, you know, overwhelming feelings that you may have sometimes.
I love that. Yes. And I have seen what you've mentioned, you know, that I've been in tech as well, and It's pretty challenging. It's like a boy's zone, but anything is possible. So I think you're doing well, and I think you're going to have a lot of more success in the future.
Thank you very much.
And speaking of growth, what has helped, you know, MeTime grow? Do you think it's your unique approach, your network, branding, or social media? What tips would you give to somebody that's starting?
Well, first and foremost, it's your team. You have to surround yourself with people who are smarter than you and that are strong where you're weak or you don't have knowledge. And I'm a big believer in soar with your strengths. So really get clear on who you are and what you're good at and stay in that lane. And so finding, you know, people to work with you or alongside you to help you build whatever you're building is really, really instrumental. It, like I like to say, it takes it takes a village to raise a child. Well, mm-hmm. It takes a village to build a company. And so I would say that's number one is making sure that you find the right teammates to help you to build your company. And then the second thing is to be flexible with your plan and your idea. You know, don't get so hung up and stuck on, you know, like a one-track mind, because you have to be in tune with what's happening in the marketplace, what your customers want. And so I would say the next the second thing is to be able to listen and be aware of what's happening, and so that you can pivot and adjust quickly. And, you know, not be afraid to try things, because some things you may try that you may not work out, right? And so that's the part where they say fail fast. You want to learn from the failures and the mistakes so that you can grow quickly. That's what's going to help. I think with the growth is just being able to have that discernment, you know, of knowing what's working, what's not working, and listening intently, you know, to your teammates, but most importantly, your customers and your target market.
I love that. Yes, and I think that's something that's usual in tech, right? That you you cannot get married with any idea or any color scheme or nothing. You just have to be able to be flexible and say, if it doesn't work, goodbye. Just let's change it.
Right. Not being emotionally attached.
Yes, just don't. Mm-hmm. Don't get in love with it.
Right.
I also wanted to ask if right now, besides me time, do you have any other forms of income, or do you have a side project at the moment?
Great question. So we are pre-revenue, as most tech companies are. So we are not generating revenue now, and we probably won't be for another year or so, or more possibly. So I have, you know, part-time jobs right now to make ends meet. And I do project work, you know, and like consulting type work. I've done ride sharing. I've done dog sitting. I've done all kinds of, I've done house sitting. So I, you know, look for opportunities where, you know, that allow me the flexibility and to make my own hours, and so that I can do whatever it takes to keep moving the ball forward with me time. You know, when I got laid off, I was in a really tough situation because I worked in a very niche industry. I had the whole overqualified, underqualified, you know, thing happening. So I looked for work, but it was really tough for me to find another job in the same industry that I was in. And then what I had been doing didn't translate well to other industries, and or they didn't want to pay me the salary that I was making, you know, at my previous company. So it was a really tough place. And so it was a very humbling experience. And, you know, simultaneously, all within the same year, you know, I got laid off, I got a divorce, and I started my company. So it was, you know, challenging in ways that I can't even describe, to not only rebuild your life, but also build a company. And at the end of the day, though, I wouldn't have it any other way, because I was fortunate enough to have a really strong support system around me with family and friends that, you know, came in and gave me the emotional support that I needed to stay focused and keep doing what I was doing and like get this company off the ground. And it was because they believed in me and could see the vision, you know, that allowed me the opportunity to not only heal from my divorce, but also, you know, just stay focused and get us to a place where we could get off the ground and get some wings, you know, to fly. And having that support system was really instrumental, you know. The struggle is real. I'm not going to lie. You know, there's days where I contemplate going back to a full-time job, especially because we're trying to raise money and we're still early, you know, and I get frustrated. Patience is not my greatest virtue. And so that's one thing I've had to, you know, really work on, and that everything takes much longer than you anticipate. But, you know, every day I get validation, you know, from people that when I talk about what we're building, that how much it's needed, or, you know, that what we've put out so far has helped them. And so, you know, that's all I need. Like, that's the motivation. Yeah. That's the fuel to keep me going. And, you know, like going, this is that found what they call the founder's dilemma, right? We're in a pivotal moment. We're 2 years in, we're going into year three now, and we're at this tipping point, right? So, like this week, I have a really busy week. I have a couple of speaking engagements. I have a pitch opportunity. I have a conference to go to. So I'm not going to be able to work at the part-time job, you know, hardly at all this week. So then, you know, how do you – so I worked all weekend, you know, in order to make up for the time that I won't be able to work during the week. But those speaking engagements and that pitch meeting are really important, and I have to go do it, you know. So you just do what you got to do, and that's what it boils down to. And
yeah, and I think you're doing a lot. Like, you just in 2016, you graduated from the Startup Leadership Program. You know, you're hustling.
I am so hustling, you know. And it's funny because when you're in it, you don't even realize. And it wasn't even until I think I read my own bio where I was like, "Holy crap, I've done a lot in 2 years." You know, like. And it was actually my girlfriend who pointed it out. You know, we were doing a catch-up session, and she said, when you think about the fact of what you've been through and had to get over while you're building a company and while you were learning, like, I went through 3 accelerators in the last couple of years, you know, since I started this. Mm-hmm. And the amount of learning, because I came into this with no tech experience, right? I've worked in entertainment, but not on the production side. Like, so everything we've done so far, we've had to learn, and there's so much learning going on at all times, you know.
And
so,
it's turning out amazing.
Yeah, we're definitely on the right path. You know, it's not going as fast as I'd like it to, but at the end of the day, we are on the right path. And I think that's what people, again, you know, that things take longer, and it's about managing your expectations. So whatever you think it's going to be, double it.
Yeah, and I think you're doing really, really well. And I also cannot leave this behind, but also, you know, I met you when you were the president of the National Latina Business mm-hmm. Women Association. Which I think it also goes into, you know, that you like to do meaningful work, and you like to, you know, you help other people. Like, that's your purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you've been there. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. It, you know, for me, everything that I've gone through when I was younger, you know, I grew up in a family that had a lot of trauma, drama, and dysfunction, and, you know, which was a source of inspiration for me time, that I just wanted to give back and, you know, mentor other young women who were interested in business, because I didn't have that mentorship, you know, growing up. And for me, it's really about, you know, helping, if I can help others, you know, save time, money, frustration, tears, then that warms my heart. But I'm just also a big believer in that supporting each other is how we get, you know, ahead.
Yes,
right?
I agree.
That as women, as Latinas, as, you know, or Latinx now, as we call it, or any group, right? Any group that has been discriminated against or oppressed in any way, shape, or form, that the way we overcome it is we rise up together and we help each other and not tear each other down. And so that was the big driver for me being a part of the Latino Business Women Association. And it also was really a great leadership learning opportunity. You know, when I broke through my fear being an entrepreneur at that particular time, like after I had that breakthrough, 30 days after I had that breakthrough, one of the board members called me, who happened to be my life insurance agent, and she said, "We're looking for new board members. Would you be interested in applying?" And I had no board experience, and they asked me to be the president-elect, which, like, I didn't even know what that was. I didn't even know what that meant and what I was supposed to do.
What do I do?
But I think it's amazing that the universe was like, great, you broke through your fear. Let's give you a practice, you know, a role in or in
getting
being
warmed
a CEO,
up.
Right? Warming you up to leadership. And here's the other thing. Like, I was deathly afraid of public speaking prior to that role. And it helped me overcome my fear of public speaking, you know, where before I could only speak in front of a podium and like holding on for dear life and my knees would be shaking, you know, and people couldn't see that. But I learned how to speak from a stage and without a podium. And it gave me a 360 view of business operations. You know, my background was sales and marketing. Being on the board taught me about operations. It taught me about finance. It taught me how to recruit volunteers. And when you have a startup, you have to recruit people to work for you for free.
Yes.
Or, you know, reduced rates if possible. So it was just such a great training ground. And at the same time, it felt good to serve my community
while
and to
helping
help
others. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's great. And actually, I wanted to talk about mentors. I know that we all learn from others and you were teaching others, but do you currently have a mentor or is there somebody in business that you look up to and why?
So yes, I have many mentors, male and female. Sylvia Ma from Hera Labs, who's also Latina. She started Hera Labs. She's an angel investor. She's just this amazing woman and machine. Like, I don't know how and when she ever sleeps and doing all that she does. I have, you know, many for different aspects, but I think mentorship is extremely important, especially on tough days. I also have a leadership coach that I work with as well. And if it wasn't for mentors or the coaching aspect, you know, I don't know that I would be, that I would still be here, honestly. Because it, you know, there are really tough days, days where you don't know what to do, you know, like you have some decisions to make and you're just not sure what to do. There's days when you want to quit. And if it wasn't for them pushing and believing in me and giving me like words of encouragement or just being able to go to them for business advice and suggestions because they've been through it already or they've seen it, you know, already. I don't, yeah, it's non-negotiable for me, you know, not to have some guidance of some sort, you know, in people backing you up in your corner, you know. So one of my mentors, she told me, because there was a day where I was like freaking out and I was like, I think I need to go back to work full time. And she said, honey, I hate to break it to you. She said, but you're giving birth to a startup and it is, you are in labor and delivery right now. That thing is coming through the birth canal. In fact, it's crowning.
Oh,
and
when my God.
when she put it in those terms, because I have given birth, right? I went, oh, I get it, you know? And she said, there's no turning back at this point. She said, because you would lose all the momentum that you've built and you have some really great momentum. And she said, you know, you just have to figure it out. You just have to figure it out and do whatever you have to do to make ends meet, you know, and to keep going, she said, because, you know, you're in it. And that, like, her just saying that to me made me feel 100% better. And you know, go figure it out. I mean, at the end of the day, you just got to figure it out.
Yes, And talking about advice, for those who are out there listening, who want to launch their business, what would you say to them, like a parting piece of advice?
If they want to launch a business, mm-hmm. just go for it. You know, life is way too short. It's not promised to you in any way, shape, or form. I know, again, this firsthand, just on New Year's Eve 2 months ago, I was in a car accident. Someone rear-ended me on the freeway going 75 miles an hour.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, I saw my life flash before my eyes, kind of moment. And I had been having all this fear of failure in December going into January because we're getting ready to launch our beta of our platform. Mm-hmm. And I was like worried about like, oh, what if people don't like it? What if it doesn't function right? You know, just all these things that go through your head and how are we going to do this? And we need more resources and marketing dollars. And that moment when you face fear of death, let me tell you, fear of failure goes right out the window. And I would just say that, you know, you just have to go for it and you don't want to live a life of regrets. And you have to come up with a plan. And there's so many resources and people out there to help you fine tune your plan and, you know, figure out how you're going to get from A to Z. And again, it's about figuring out what you're good at and then going and enlisting the help of the people who are better at what you are in those categories, you know, where you may lack experience or expertise. But at the end of the day, you know, I think you owe it to yourself. If you have the dream or you have this vision or you have this idea and you are passionate about it, you owe it to yourself to try to make it happen. Because otherwise you know, the life of regret thing will haunt you forever.
I love that. That is awesome advice. And I think everybody will benefit from that. Before we go, Remy, could you please share with our audience how can they find you, the website, and all the socials?
Sure. So, excuse me. So, Me Time Network, it's time with a Y on Facebook and the website and across all social media. The platform that we're building is actually going to be Me Time TV. So that's currently in beta mode, and that will be a subscription model.
That's exciting.
So, yeah, so that'll be further down the road. But in the meantime, you can follow Me Time Network. And then you can always find me at Remy Meraz. So I'm pretty active on social media and always trying to share words of wisdom and my learning lessons, you know, on Facebook and Instagram. So happy to connect with anybody who wants to reach out and help them in any way I can.
I'm sure they will. So be prepared. Check your inbox. Well, thank you so much for being here and thank you so much for your time. I know your story will inspire a lot of women who want to launch their own businesses or, you know, somebody who's already in business.
That is a wrap. Thank you, everybody, for joining me. Remy has a fascinating story. Make sure to visit her website, metimenetwork.com. You can also find the link on the website, fentmedia.co. And to get every show, make sure to subscribe to this podcast. And as a quick reminder, you can also listen to the other podcasts. I have one in Spanish, and it's called Fent Podcast. And follow us on social media. Tweet at us. We are also on Instagram and Facebook as Fent Show. And for the one in Espanol, we have it as well as Fent Podcast. And thank you very, very much for listening and taking the time. And I'll see you in the next episode.